Welcome to the radio ministry of the Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh-day, featuring the teaching ministry of Troy Gadak. You can learn more about the Church of God Seventh-day at www.cscog7.org. Now, here's Pastor Troy Gadak.
This is a follow-up on our series of Who Are We? Who Are We? And today's focus moves into that idea of we're committed to discipleship. That's part of who we are. We are a church body that is truly committed to teaching, to training, to helping and equipping the saints. And that's who we are. Won't you join me, though, first in a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we come before you now thanking you for this Sabbath day. And Father, we ask a blessing upon this portion of the service. Father, that our hearts might be opened. Father, that you would guide and direct us and lead us as we apply your words to our lives. Father, that we're transformed. Father, that each and every one of us is truly takes away greater truth and understanding and applies it to our lives so that we can draw closer to you. And Father, likewise, share this and to be an example to those we come in contact with. Father, that we might have an answer for all those who come asking. And Father, that you would equip us and fill us with your Spirit. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who are we? That's the series and who we are. You know, we've gone through quite a bit so far. If you think about it, I want to go back just to kind of recap who we are and where we've been, and so we kind of have an idea of that. We are, in fact, a body of believers that are focused on Jesus Christ and his kingdom. That's who we are. That's at the very heart of the matter. Without Jesus, without Christ at the center, there would be no purpose. We wouldn't be here. That's why we're here. And so that gives meaning and it gives understanding as to who we are. We are a group of believers that are distinct. And why are we distinct? Because we follow the Bible. And that sets us apart from the rest of the world in the sense that we're distinct and yet we're not exclusive. And likewise, we're Sabbath observing and we adhere to what the Bible says because we're Bible-based. And so sure enough, that becomes a part of who we are, and that is who we are. In addition to that, though, we're spirit-formed in the sense that God's Spirit indwells in each and every one of us. And sure enough, it's not us, but it's Christ who dwells in us. And so it gives us meaning and gives us understanding as to who we are. But you know, when we look at that then, as an individual, we look at that as a body of believers, that's who we are. But we moved even further into that and saying, we are passionate about worship. And that's why we come and we gather together for the purpose of worshiping him. We celebrate in song, we celebrate in the word, and we celebrate in fellowship. We celebrate in service to one another and our community as well. In addition to that, part of that being passionate in worship at the very heart of us is worshiping God, because that's the context of who we are. Without that sort of context, really, everything else is meaningless. Does that make sense? Without the context of him, everything else really falls by the wayside. We're also aggressive in witness, and we're compassionate in service. We serve one another. We serve our community. We do as much as we can to reach out. As a local congregation, that's what we do in terms of our outreach, to reach those families and perhaps those individuals, even those that are joining us today streaming live through the internet, that don't have a congregation near to them. But boy, they want to stay connected, and boy, they want to continue to grow, and they want to continue to walk in his way. We reach out into our local community, as we're doing this time of year with our Thanksgiving baskets. We also reach out into our local community as we provide food for a local food pantry that helps families in need. We're called to serve. We're compassionate in service. We're also aggressive in witness because many of us are the only Bible that some people will ever read. And so in our witness, not only in how we live our lives, but also in what we say, and what we adhere to, we witness that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Are we representing him? In all that we do, are we representing him? Saying, I belong to him. And sure enough, I represent that kingdom. Today, we're going to jump into another facet. These, by the way, are not necessarily, if you will, in the sense of worship kind of grounds us in the context of God and that we are Christ-centered. That's the very foundation. Everything else then is built upon that as to who we are. This one is a critical one, committed to discipleship. We give ourselves to discipleship. We really give ourselves to that difficult process whereby we become God's workmanship. We become His masterpiece, basically on display for His glory. So we allow God to work within our lives to mold us, to fashion us. That's what it means when we become His workmanship. That He allows us, He trains us, He teaches us. You picture, when you think about this, picture what it would have been like. Picture how many of you have either our parents or, well, I guess once you're a parent, you're always a parent, right? Even if the kids aren't still in the house, right? How many are parents just in the congregation? How many are parents? A good majority of folks are parents. When you think about that and say, parents have a responsibility to raise children, do we not? And when you think about that, it's the... We provide for their physical well-being, we provide for their emotional well-being, and in fact, we provide also for their spiritual well-being as parents. That's our role, that's our responsibility. Scripture is rather clear about our role and responsibility as parents and training up our kids and training and raising them in righteousness. And so when looking at that, that has a role and a function. Not only do we care for, sure enough, that the kids are well fed, that they have clothes, that they have shelter, their basic needs are being met. But beyond that, Scripture is also clear that we have a role and a responsibility for the spiritual development of those individuals. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes in the world forsakes that component of parent and parental responsibility. They provide a home, they provide shelter, they provide clothing, they provide food. But so often in today's world, we say, well, we'll let the spiritual development, we'll let them decide. Like, wow, really? Would you let your son or daughter decide where they would live when they were 5 years old? Would you let your son or daughter decide what they needed and how they were going to procure their meal when they were 4 years old, a babe, a toddler? And yet for some reason we think that when it comes to spiritual development, well, that's something that they'll decide on their own. And yet you look at that and you say, we didn't do that when it came to food. We didn't do that when it came to shelter. We didn't tell our son or daughter they needed to go out and fetch their own clothes, sew together a few fig leaves, hopefully grab a branch or two and maybe cover yourself. You'll do well for yourself. And yet I look at that and say, that's the same mentality, though, that we take when we say, your spiritual development is entirely left up to you. Really? Is it? We have a responsibility as individuals and parents, but so does the church. And together, when you look at that, the church has a responsibility to guide and to guide that spiritual development, and to guide the spiritual development of the believers. And that's what we're here, and that's what we, in fact, are charged to do. We'll get into the details of that here in just a little bit. But if you notice that the church has a responsibility for the spiritual development of Christians, and not only Christians when they're young or babes in Christ, but the church has a responsibility for the spiritual development of all within the church. And that's what discipleship is all about. It's equipping. It's teaching. For 3.5 years, Jesus' disciples walked with him, talked with him, learned all that he had to share with them about the understanding of who he was and his plan for mankind. And sure enough, they were disciples. They were those that were the learners, if you will. And in that process, not only as learners, they would go about as Jesus taught them. learners are open and receptive to teaching and growing and being nurtured in his way. But you know, this is a process, in fact, that children, in fact, aren't left to figure out, in fact, their life on their own. Have you noticed what happens when kids are often left to figure out their life on their own? Unfortunately, they sometimes make those wrong choices. And you find that when left to their own, without guidance and cultivation, they tend to go sideways and tend to go astray. Likewise, do you realize that unless we are cultivated as spiritual believers in the church, we too can go astray? We too often find ourselves, if left out there on our own, we often then maybe find ourselves in the back row. Not necessarily any indication with James sitting in the back there. But I'm more figuratively speaking, you find yourself in the back. And next thing you know, you find yourself then heading out the back door. And then you find yourself far removed from the church unless you're cultivated. Meaning, unless you grow and unless you're not neglected. Individuals that are neglected, when you don't have an opportunity to grow, you tend to, natural human nature tends to fall away. We tend to fall away. You know, the process, though, of cultivating the spiritual development of believers, in fact, begins when at conversion. It begins at the point that the person has committed their life to Jesus Christ, does it not? But a lot of times people think that discipleship just begins there, or that it's only the time that it's there. And discipleship is for new believers. No. Discipleship is not just for new believers. Discipleship is for all believers. That in fact, you need that growth at the beginning, but you know what? You need that growth through all stages of your spiritual life. It doesn't ever go away, the need for growth, because we're constantly growing and have an opportunity to constantly learn greater truth and understanding from God's Word. The process of cultivation, spiritual development, is basically what discipleship is. Discipleship is basically the process of spiritual cultivation. Growing. You notice that when you grow, we're now at the end of our growing season. But do you notice when you grow that there's focus in every stage of development? From the time that, in fact, the seed is planted into the soil to the time that it then sprouts, it needs careful attention. And can you picture if it had been neglected, if perhaps after it sprouted, that you would simply say, oh, it's done what it needs to do. It's on its own. And we failed then to provide it water. If we failed then to provide it and to help weed out the weeds that perhaps come up to try and choke the life out of it. Perhaps if we're looking at that, perhaps we didn't provide necessary fertilization for its growth and ongoing growth. It would eventually die. That seedling needs constant cultivation, not just at the time of conversion, but just as the individual, we, you and I need constant cultivation. Even from the time we were newborn, so to speak, born again in Jesus Christ, we still need that cultivation. We need the watering. We need the cultivating and the pruning. We need the weeding out of the weeds in order for us to grow healthy and strong. And boy, it's a lifelong process. It's not something that just happens at the beginning. It's something that, in fact, continues all throughout our whole life. It's that lifelong commitment, if you will. It's, in fact, discipleship is really the church's kind of strategic process, if you will, of really helping not only the new to grow, but helping everyone to become more and more like Christ. Have you asked yourself that question? How am I today growing closer or stronger to Jesus Christ than I was yesterday? Have you pondered that thought to say, where is my trajectory on my growth plan in Christ Jesus? How am I growing stronger today than I was yesterday? We'll talk a little bit more about those practical ways later on in the message here. Discipleship is really that strategic process to help believers become more and more like Jesus in every aspect of their life. Not just on the weekly Sabbath when they get together, but every aspect of their life. You know, taking this seriously really kind of starts with understanding how important discipleship is to Jesus. And I think that's important for us to reflect on. You know, he gave, remember his final instructions. Turn in your Bibles if you would real quick. Let's turn over to Matthew. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Let's pick it up, of course, in that Great Commission to show exactly how important this was to Jesus. Notice what Jesus says. Notice he says right here that in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19, I'll pick it up in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you and I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Do you notice that this is, of course, becomes known as the Great Commission? The Great Commission for mankind, it's not the Great Suggestion. It's not, it would be good if you did this. Feel free to take it or leave it. Jesus finds this so important that he gives his disciples such important counsel before he leaves them. And do you notice how he boils it down? He shares them with them the, in fact, when looking at this, this is a priority. And a priority that he gives, but yet it's unfortunate, but it's a mandate that often the church overlooks. The church is called on not only to reach people, that's the first part. Do you notice there's three parts to this passage in Matthew? And I think it's important to give value to each part. Notice, first of all, Jesus identifies that he is all authority, that he is the one that is truly omnipotent with all authority and power embodied in Jesus Christ. He identifies that. Why do you suppose he identifies that up front? He sets the stage to say, all authority has been given to me. What I'm about to tell you then is, as I've shared with you all through the time of my ministry on this earth, listen to my words and apply those words. And then he gives them some counsel around the Great Commission to show that it gives validity, it gives emphasis, it gives power to the fact that he possesses all power and authority. And yet then he goes in and he shares with them what to do. And I love it because there's three main aspects. The first one, he says to go. Very simple command. Go. And to go means, well, the opposite of stay, right? And a lot of times we are in our comfort zones where we stay. And we enjoy those comfortable points. But he calls on us to go. It's evidence that we're not to keep what we have on the inside. We're to, in fact, share it. We're, in fact, to go, and so that we're in contact with other people, that we are in, that we have interface with others, that they can see who we are, and they can learn, and they can observe, and they can hopefully be drawn as well. But do you notice what else? This threefold call is not only to evangelize by going out and sharing God and Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom of God with people, and to live our lives that way, but also important in that is Jesus calls on us to baptize them. Do you notice that it's not only going out there and reaching the lost, but the lost have there's a purpose and there's action that accompanies the lost and that going forth. And that is not just sharing with them the good news, but also encouraging them to in fact accept it and in fact demonstrate on the outside what God has been doing on the inside in changing their lives. And therefore going through in baptism that in fact shares and points to the fact that Jesus is in fact working in our lives, and we're showing that on the outside to those, that he has cleansed us from our sins and we've chosen to follow him, not to follow ourselves any longer, but to commit our lives wholly to him. But then threefold, the third step is the teaching. Verse 20 says, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. You know, boy, I think that's so important, that we're not only called on to go, but we're also called on to act, baptize, and we're also called on to teach, and so that people have a chance to grow. Notice the Great Commission. So often we think that the Great Commission is simply going, and we lose sight of, I remember something about the baptizing. But a lot of times, many churches forget about the whole notion of teaching and helping them and nurturing them and helping them to grow. And to grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. You know, when you look at it and say, some churches do a much better job than others in certain aspects of these. Some churches are gangbusters around evangelizing the lost, reaching and going out. Others are good at then cultivating those new believers. And sure enough, that's bringing them in, and they get baptized, and then, well, you've arrived, that notion. And then there's other churches that are good at teaching and training. Jesus' point is, it's not pick one of these, but Jesus' point is the Great Commission includes all three of these. That we as a body of believers need to not only focus by going out, but we also need to focus on those new believers, but we also need to focus on cultivating every believer and training and teaching them in all righteousness. You know, a lot of times fishing can be fun, can't it? Oh, enjoy going fishing. Picture it, casting that line, catching that fish, reeling in that fish. But then the other part of fishing is you keep that fish, you got to clean it. You got to care for it, to prepare it. You choose to grill it up, prepare it in whatever way you decide. Perhaps those aren't as fun as it is when the moment you were catching it. That's, I think, why we need to keep in mind that this whole process is not only just about being fishers of men as we go out and reel them in, as we go out and share the good news. But the also a part of that is the important part of cultivating, cleaning the fish, helping the individuals to grow, not leaving them where they were when we pulled them in, if you will, onto the banks, but helping them to move beyond the catch, moving beyond. That's what discipleship is all about. Turn in your Bibles over to Colossians. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28 says, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." Did you capture that verse? It's a lot of power in that one verse. Notice, the first thing is, when we go, who are we proclaiming? Jesus Christ. When we go, we live our lives going into the world. sharing who we are as ambassadors of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. We proclaim him. But notice the second part here. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Paul is telling us right here that this is such a critical part here. It's a critical part that part of growing as a disciple and as a believer is not just saying who we belong to, but learning about who we belong to. Does that make sense? You know, when you think about it, we have a lot of people who give lip service to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus. But we have very few people who, in fact, know who Jesus is and know the teachings of what Jesus taught. They know of Jesus as a person. They know of Jesus who died on the cross and rose again. But so many people, unfortunately, don't know what Jesus is all about. They don't know what Jesus taught when he was on this earth. They don't know his principles. They don't know his commands that he shared. But yet we're called on to admonish and to teach everyone with all wisdom. Where's that wisdom come from? That wisdom comes from him. That wisdom comes from him. And therefore, we can share that with others. Why? So that, notice the last part of that, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. I think it's so important that when we stand before the Lord, that truly we, as he has called us, we've accepted him, but we haven't just left it at acceptance. That we desire, in fact, to grow and to learn about him. And to apply that into our lives so that we can stand perfect before him. Perfect before him, not by what we did, but by what we learned. And by what we learned and by Jesus living within us, that allows us to stand perfect before him and before the throne. You know, discipleship is important. Teaching is important. And you know what better way than, yes, you can learn on your own. But I want to share with you just some other aspects of outside of discipleship. We often come together and we learn together. And in learning together, we learn and we fellowship. And you know, that's part of learning. Fellowship isn't just about potlucks. Do you know that? Potlucks are great. We love it. But do you often notice what happens at potlucks? You know, when we're sitting around tables and we're talking, and you know, we're sharing maybe experiences or things that have been happening in our lives, do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening? Because the body of believers come together. Not only are we learning together, we're fellowshipping together. And when we fellowship, we also learn a little more. And it's almost a cyclical process. And that's why I've put these two together. Because we are not only committed to discipleship, but in doing so, we're also passionate about our fellowship. Worship reaches up. Evangelism reaches out. But through fellowship and discipleship, guess what we're doing? We're reaching in to each other. Isn't that powerful? I mean, when you think about that, if you were just to keep that embodied in just that we have worship, we reach up. We have evangelism, we reach out. But with fellowship and discipleship, we are reaching within. We're helping each other to grow. We're encouraging each other. We're edifying each other. Yes, we might be having a meal while we do so. And we might be sharing one with another. But we're encouraging. We're ministering to one another. And do you realize what happens when we minister to one another? We're growing in unity together. It's beautiful when you think about that. We're not these isolated pockets. We're not these individuals that, you know what, throughout the week, perhaps never see each other and only gather together on the weekly Sabbath. No, we're a part of a body. We're a part of, and we're members, even when we leave here, and we may be apart from each other for a period of time, but we also know that each and every one of us is a member of the family of God. And that's special, because God has called us into that family. To be a Christian is to be a member of the body of Christ. Why is that important? Oh, it's so important because each and every one of us has a special role, a special function, a purpose. We can't be invisible. Because, you know, invisible Christians really provide no witness of the life of Christ into a watching world. We can't be invisible Christians. People should see it. They should see who we are. They should reflect and see there's something different about this person. We have a commitment to the love and the unity of his disciples as a body. We are a part of the body. And therefore, we have a responsibility within that body to be a part of a unit. You know, when you think about it, when was the last time that you could be a soldier apart from an army? When was the last time you tried to be a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout and you were separate from the troop? When was the last time you tried to be an instrumentalist and yet you were separate from the orchestra or the symphony? The point that I'm making here is the fact that we're a part of a body, and we need to remember that body is the body of Christ, and we are to love Christ and to love his bride. And who is his bride? The church. And we love one another. That's what draws us together in unity, together as one. What brings us together is our common focus on him, on Jesus Christ. Our common beliefs around the Bible and what the Bible says. Our common approach to sharing that good news with others. And proclaiming it, living by it, we're the ambassadors. What do we do here in our local congregation? What do we have in place, in fact, to help in your growth in discipleship? How do we sustain that? Discipleship is important. It's truly growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what are the tools that we have in place to help in that growth process? Well, for one, we encourage folks to read the Bible through on a Bible reading program. If you decide to do it in a year, you decide to do it in 2 years, 3 years, whatever Bible reading plan you have, we encourage you to stick with that. Read the Bible on a daily basis. The other one is we provide Sabbath school, good teaching for all ages. That's what's available. Available at the local congregation so that you can come and you can be not only active listeners, but you can be active participants in the study. Come to the Sabbath school studies, whether it be for the youth, whether it be for the kids, whether it be for the adults. That's another way to help to enrich your walk in growing as disciples. We also have fellowship each and every Sabbath. And that's the importance of this. We're fed, we're nourished physically as well as spiritually. Potluck opportunities give us that time to also connect with each other because we've been apart from each other. And a family, it's almost like a family reunion every week that the big group gets together and we got a chance to celebrate. But in addition to that, we offer a midweek Bible study, another opportunity to grow. So do you notice when you look at that and say, the local congregation wants to provide tools to equip you in your own personal walk. Those tools happen on a Sabbath day. They also happen during midweek Bible studies. But the church also encourages you to get involved in a Bible reading plan. Which, by the way, those are all available on the website. You'll check they even check those out under resources. Opportunities for you to connect and connect with God's word on a daily basis. That's kind of who we are. And that's why we're committed to discipleship. Committed to discipleship here and in individual lives. I hope that from here, you take a look at these things that we have. I hope that you as an individual commit to growing in maybe those areas. Maybe it happens to be in an area where you say, you know what, maybe I'm not as diligent as I should be in reading the Bible on a regular basis. Or maybe it's that, you know what, I haven't been coming to midweek Bible studies. Maybe I need to. And maybe that's where God is calling me to grow. Or maybe it's the morning Sabbath, where Sabbath school is offered and available and an opportunity to learn. We're starting a brand new Sabbath school series right now, adult class that's on some general Bible study topics. We're going from Genesis down through Revelation in about 16 different lessons. A good time to learn, good time to study. The youth of the congregation are studying about things that are application, life application lessons for things that they're faced with right now at those ages between middle and high school ages. We're asking all of our young adults to join us in our adult Sabbath school because we have some great general Bible studies that are valuable. And then, of course, in our midweek Bible study, studying through the book of Hebrews, encourage you to join in on that, some rich studies there. Or if the kids of the congregation, you know, they're studying Route 66, going through every book of the Bible, studying it. Have you seen their little booklets? They've got some great booklets, great study, great learning that's going on. That's what's available. I hope you take advantage of it. The other nice thing is no registration cost, no fees, no signing up for credit. In fact, you can get it right here on a weekly Sabbath day or on a midweek Bible study. Or I hope that you're picking up your Bibles on a regular daily basis in order to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Won't you bow your heads? Our Father in heaven, we come before you thanking you, Father, for this time that we are, in fact, as we study and learn more about you and who we are, Father, we're committed to discipleship. We're committed to teaching. We're committed to learning. Father, we thank you that we have the tools available to us to help us to grow, to grow and take us to that next level of learning so that we can continue to share that and proclaim that in our lives. Father, not in a way that perhaps are going onto the street corners, Father, but in a way that others see and watch as they see how we live our lives, the lesson, the decisions that we make, in the way in which we lead our lives and the way in which we proclaim you. Father, we ask that you would continue to help us to grow. Help us not to become stagnant, but Father, to help us to be challenged every day in our walk with you. Father, help us to in fact read more diligently on a daily basis and to draw closer to you in our walk with you. Father, we thank you that you have provided these tools for us to grow. We know that it's important. You've called on us to go. You've called on us to baptize, and you've called on us to teach. We know the value, and we recognize that, and ask that you would be with us to strengthen us every day that we grow ever so close to you. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of the Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh Day. The Colorado Springs Church of God Seventh Day holds weekly Sabbath services at the Springs Community Church. The church's most recent messages can be downloaded at www.cscog7.org. There you will also find more information on the dynamic ministries of Church of God Seventh Day. Join us at the same time each Saturday for inspiring messages from God's Word.